final reading. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Tonight's scripture, there's only 8 verses there. They're pretty short, but to me, do they ever pack a punch? So I love when scripture, I call it really meaty, because there's so many ways it can speak to us. And this, that's true with the scripture from tonight. What I like is that Paul has actually given us practical applications for Christian life, all right there in these 8 verses. So I thought tonight it might be engaging just to kind of dive into most of those verses in order just to understand them a little bit better. So verse 11, Christians are to encourage each other to build each other up. When I read that, I just absolutely love this concept. So we're going to linger here for a little bit. So if we really pay attention to those that are around us and respond versus react, imagine the many opportunities we'd find to encourage somebody. How many have ever seen that acronym? It says THINK along the side, and it'll say, think before you speak. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Right? THINK. And I'm thinking if we were to use this as a guide to help us live this Bible verse, that would kind of be pretty helpful for us. A word of encouragement offered at the right moment, it can be a difference maker in somebody's day and possibly even their life. And it could be just the thing that they needed to make it through that day. So I remember at my brother Mike's funeral, it was in Minnesota, and he was in recovery, so a lot of his community there were people in recovery. And one of his community friends, Marlene, she spoke at his funeral about what it was like to have him around. And so when I was reading this about encouragement, instantly that memory came of what she said about him. And she said, quote, I've heard people say what a happy person Mike was. He was full of life, his smile was bright, and his eyes spoke volumes of genuine emotion. And he laughed a lot. I know I always felt pure, excited joy to see him at a meeting. A hug and a quick chat from him could turn a regular day into a very good day. What a gift to give people. It's something as simple as a bright, sincere smile, a laugh, some spoken words. We can all do that, right? That's how he showed up, right? A smile, joyful discussion with someone, a hug, and it changed people's day. There are so many ways to encourage and lift up others. Our hope with biblical encouragement is to motivate each other to love and serve Jesus. The Greek word for encouragement actually has a sense of coming alongside of. It means to come close to someone's life, their struggles, their story. Encouragement is the voice that says, I relate, I understand, I've been there too. Be sensitive to other people's needs for encouragement and offer supportive words and actions. And encouragement, it takes on many forms. It could be a call to someone to keep them going whenever they're weary. It could be for that person who stumbles, ways to help restore them. At times, encouragement is helping the person see a more biblical way to approach a situation. Maybe they've gone down a little bit of a different path, and that encouragement is trying to bring them back to a more biblical way of living. Or for somebody it's hurting, it's providing loving comfort and counsel. So biblical encouragement, it calls us to look to God, to look to his promises, trust in his faithfulness, because ultimately both our strength to keep going and our greatest encouragement is going to come from him. The God of encouragement, he wants to use each of us each of us as vessels of encouragement to one another, to call to one another, to help strengthen one another, to keep running, to keep going, keep believing, to keep depending on Christ, and to finish that course that God has given us. So that's verse 11. Verse 12 and 13, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. This probably refers to elders and deacons in the church. And how can we show respect to and hold in highest regard our pastors and other church leaders? Express our appreciation, tell them how we've been helped in their leadership, in their teaching. Thank them for how their ministry has impacted our life. And remember, actually, that they need and deserve our support and our love. And a key word is support and love. If we refer to verse 11, right, we're supposed to encourage. And that goes for the pastors as well. So as I read this, I think about how deeply committed some of my pastoral ministry friends are that I've met, especially in these last 6 years. I've come across paths with and become friends with a lot of them. And it just amazes me because these are people who have given their life to serve God in their call and their ministry. Their hours are long. Oftentimes, the situations where they've come alongside of people, they're extremely difficult. They wear a lot of hats. If you've ever seen what they go through to lead a church, they have so many hats they wear, and many more than I would say the congregation is even aware of, and they can burn out. I know Pastor Davis shared before that, I don't remember how many people were in his ordination class. There's only a couple of them left now because they burn out. So we have to look at those people that are early on in their ministries and, well, how can we encourage them and help them so that they don't burn out? And this will sound like no correlation whatsoever, but I'm throwing it in here because it keeps surfacing. In my corporate life, I was 12 years with McDonald's in accounting for company-owned restaurants. And I had 100 restaurants that my team was in charge of their anything financial to do with the restaurant. So I got to know better what a restaurant manager is. So you know when you go to McDonald's and you just see the person that is either getting your order right or wrong, and you're either angry with them or not angry, or thank you, you got my order right, I'm out of here. But what you don't see, and a lot of times what we don't see when we're in the congregation, is what all goes behind that job and those roles. That restaurant manager, when I got to know them, they were in charge of a $1.5 million business. And these were pretty sometimes young people, right? Hiring, firing, training, anything to do with product rollout, knowing the menu, knowing how to put all these things together, dealing with keeping a restaurant clean, keeping it organized, and the maintenance and repair. All of these things this person is in charge of. But what we see them, when we don't know any better, is just that manager that's running a store that is getting our order right or wrong, a pastor who may be preaching up here not knowing everything else that is on that platter of theirs. That's my correlation. So how is it that we can serve and help and love our pastors? Then verse 14, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. So at times it can be kind of difficult to distinguish between laziness and timidity. Someone who is lazy is not inclined to do activity or exert oneself, despite having the ability to act and exert oneself. So that's what laziness looks like. But a person who is timid, on the other hand, they actually lack courage and self-confidence to take action. So there's a big difference where we might think of them as the same. So the key when we're walking alongside or with other people is to have sensitivity, sensing the condition of each person and offering the appropriate remedy in that situation. So yes, while in verse 11 we're called to encourage one another, at times that also includes calling out people who are lazy. Of course, there's effective and ineffective ways of doing that, so make sure that you're using the right one. There's a book by the founder of the Stephen Ministry Organization, Hawk is his last name, but it's called Speaking the Truth in Love, and it's a beautiful resource for how to actually do this, how to have some difficult conversations, and it, to me, was one of the best practical uses of how to do that. Then for the person who lacks self-confidence, encouragement goes a long way towards helping them gain confidence and find the courage to take action. So as we move on to verse 16, always be joyful. So the dictionary defines joyful as a person's heart experiencing deep feeling or condition of contentment. So oftentimes, a lot of people confuse joy and happiness. Rachel Fernley, she's a writer for a newsletter called Psychologies. She states that there is a profound difference between joy and happiness. Joy is more consistent and is cultivated internally. It's this attitude of the heart and the spirit present within inside of us. Joy comes when we make peace with who we are, why we are, and how we are. Happiness, on the other hand, it tends to be externally triggered, and it's based on other people, things, places, thoughts, events. So joy comes from the inside and happiness from the outside. Aiming for joy is beneficial, much more so than happiness, because it's less transitory than happiness. It's not tied to external circumstances, which we don't control. The more we get in touch with our true self, the less we feel the need to seek from external influences to experience momentary happiness. Joy becomes more a constant state of being. The Compassion International website, it states that, quote, it's possible to feel joy in difficult times. Joy doesn't need a smile in order to exist, although it does feel better with one. Joy can share its space with other emotions. So you could actually have joy and sadness, joy and shame, joy and anger. Happiness can't share those same spaces. Happiness is not present in darkness and difficulty. Joy never leaves it. Joy serves as a foundation for our soul. It brings to life peace and contentment. Joy requires connection. Often the connection is with other people, but it can also be with pets, with creation. How many of you are out today? Did you experience some joy just by being outside in weather that was like today? Joy is present in the moment. Happiness, it mostly just kind of passes through us. Joy is in our moment and stays with us. Our verse tonight says we are to rejoice always. That means right now, today, in this moment, in this situation, with this body we have, the job situation that we have, the home that we have, the friend situations that we have, the circumstances that we find ourselves in right now, we're supposed to rejoice. Verse 17, never stop praying. So we can't spend all our time right on our knees or in our prayer spot, wherever that is for us. But it is possible to have a prayerful attitude at all times. And that's what they're speaking of when we're talking at this verse. This attitude is built upon acknowledging our dependence on God, realizing His presence within us, and determining to obey Him fully. Then we find it's natural to pray frequent, spontaneous, short little prayers. We do that throughout the day. Prayer becomes part of our day. It's not just something that we do when we wake up or when we go to sleep or when we're at a meal. It's just a continual thing. And this attitude of prayer, it's not a substitute for those regular times where we actually take some carve-out time for prayer, but it actually is something that comes out from doing those things. Verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances. So Paul was not teaching that we're supposed to thank God for everything that happens to us, but instead we're to thank Him in everything. Regardless of how difficult our circumstances may be, we can find reasons to thank God. We can be thankful that all things work out for the good if we belong to Him, which is Romans 8:28. We can be thankful that God's grace is sufficient to sustain us in every circumstance, 2 Corinthians 12:9. We can be thankful that nothing can separate us from God's love, Romans 8:37 through 39. We can be thankful that God even supports us spiritually when trials produce difficulty in our prayer life. Right? We still know He loves us. He still supports us when we falter in our consistency of spending time with Him. In his letter to Romans, Paul wrote that, quote, he glorified in tribulations. He embraced them because he was convinced of what continuing to live in faith towards God would produce in his life. Something eternal. Right? He knew that it was an eternal result that was going to be had. He had become involved in a faith in which he could find joy always and give thanks in everything, even those things which were not only unpleasant, but seemingly unbearable for him. His thankfulness truly honored God, And he reminds us to do the same. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
I remember being in high school, and my favorite passage was 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. And it was because I could have memorized three passages of Scripture, and it was really short. Rejoice always, pray continually, and be thankful in all circumstances. So as a young man, I thought it was neat to show that off, that I had memorized three long verses. But the point of that I realize now is that the energy and the excitement with which Paul wrote those verses was actually grounded in a hope. And the hope that he had, which gave him the excitement, was born as Jesus Christ sat around a table with his 12 disciples. That was when a new covenant was being birthed. That's when Jesus decided that things were going to go down a new trajectory, and we were going to be pointed toward a new destiny of reunification and redeemability. And so he sat around that table having dinner with his followers, and he was preparing for that long, long night, and he picked up bread and he broke that bread. He gave thanks to us and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as they sat around that table and they ate together and they shared their time together, they neared the end of that meal, and Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks to you and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my cup of the new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this every time you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And now we join together in the prayer that you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Becky, are you serving with me? I would assume that most of us here have had communion in this capacity before. Gluten-free is available here. This is such a sacred rite and ritual. Every time we participate in this communion, we almost have to take a step back in our spirits to say we are participating in something that has existed for over 2,000 years. It was handed down, and we get to engage in the act of receiving God's grace. So I invite you now, as you feel led, to engage once again in this wonderful act of God's grace for you in communion.
I'm going to come up with five things for my fingers as we close tonight. All right. So as we go into our week, may we encourage, appreciate, be joyful, pray, and thank God. Go in peace.